Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bibles as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we continue our Bible study series on Heaven, Our Real Home. This is actually the ninth lesson. And tonight's lesson is called Relationships in Heaven. We've talked about a lot of different things, got a couple more topics to go. It will take us up until the end of the year. We've talked about what heaven as a place is like and what it will be like after God puts an end pretty much to history as we know it. We've talked about God himself and why he created heaven. We talked about what our bodies will be like after we leave this life and when we get into our eternal heaven and our bodies are resurrected, what's that going to be like? We talked about what are we going to do in heaven? We talked about what will we know in heaven? What will we remember? What will we learn? And that kind of brings us up to where we are tonight, talking about relationships. Next week we won't have Bible study, but the week following we're going to come back and say, could history repeat itself? You know, sin came into a perfect world. Could sin into our experience of heaven and ruin it? And so you don't worry, the answer is no. But it would still be good to look at why, so we have that reassurance, and we can rejoice in that, all right? And then we'll be talking eventually about judgment and reward and how we can prepare for heaven. As I've shared with you, it isn't enough just to say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Now, that's the most important part, and you got to get that part right. But saying that you don't need to do anything else to prepare for heaven is sort of like saying, well, I don't need to prepare for retirement except live that long. You got to do a lot more than live that long to be well prepared for retirement if you want to enjoy retirement, okay? If you want to have a satisfying and fulfilling life after retirement. And the same thing is true for heaven. Our preparation for heaven, how we live this life, looking ahead to that, will have a tremendous impact on our experience in heaven, okay? So that's kind of where we're headed over the next several weeks as we get toward the end of the year. But tonight we're talking about relationships in heaven. But I want to back up all the way back to the beginning of history and ask this question: why did God create Adam with the intent that he would multiply to all mankind? Why did he create Adam to begin with? Was it because he needed somebody to do things for him? You know, that was the view of the other cultures around God's people. They believed that the gods created mankind to do the work that they didn't want to do. Okay? But why did God create Adam? For fellowship. Okay? Was God somehow incomplete without man? No. So he didn't need the fellowship that he desired, but he must have desired it, right? On your note sheet there, I have this statement: God created Adam not because God had a need for relationship, but because he had a desire for relationship. A desire for relationship. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, there's a verse. Unfortunately, that's after Adam and Eve have sinned. But this verse kind of describes what might have happened before they sinned. It says, and they heard, Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. This verse seems to indicate that God would come down on a regular basis to just spend time with Adam and Eve. But at this particular point, because they had sinned, they were filled with guilt and shame, so they hid themselves, implying that they hadn't had to hide themselves before, that they could have a real open fellowship and relationship with God. And all that was messed up by sin entering the picture. Well, there's a lot of different relationships we're going to take a look at tonight, but the first and foremost one is our relationship with God. Number one, our relationship with God. And we have kind of talked a little bit about our relationship with God and what it might be like in heaven. Kind of leading up to this, but a specific focus on it tonight. Let me just ask you a question. What gets in the way of our relationship with God now? Sin. And for people who don't have a relationship at all with God, that's why. It's because of sin. But you know, even those of us that do know God, we have a relationship with him. We've asked God to forgive us on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. Sin can still get in the way, can't it? Because we're not perfect yet. And we still, at times, give in to temptation. And thank the Lord, he still forgives us, but it still gets in the way. Besides sin, what can get in the way of a closeness to God in a relationship? What? Yourself? In what sense? I think you're on the right track, but what do you mean by self? Oh, I thought you said self. Oh, somebody back there said it. You're just repeating it. Oh, okay. You're trying to take credit for somebody else's answer. I'm just joking. Just giving you a hard time. Chris? Pride. Yeah, pride. Okay. What else gets in the way of us having a close relationship with God? Yes. Ray? We get busy and we let other things get in the way of having a good relationship with God. Even good things. Doesn't even have to be sinful things. Makes me think, when you said that, it made me think of the story when Jesus and his disciples stopped to visit with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And, you know, Mary sat and wanted to take in, have a relationship. Martha's busy fixing dinner. And she says, why aren't you telling her to help me? And he says, well, she's chosen the best part. You know, we're having a relationship. We're having this fellowship here, you know. Jesus probably said, just put some hot dogs in the pot, you know. Don't be worried about fixing all this stuff up. All right. Any other thoughts about what gets in the way? Doubt. Mm-hmm. Doubt. There's a number of things that get in the way. Yes, Lynn. Mm-hmm. We don't prioritize. Put God first. Put spending time with him first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Chris, you got another one? Okay, a lack of faith or unbelief. So many things can get in the way of our relationship with God. Now, ultimately, it's what you said at the beginning, letter A, our relationship with God was originally disrupted because of sin. And it continues to be disrupted because of sin. Romans 6, 3:23, actually, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but separation from God. All right. And when we sin, even as believers, it puts up a barrier. It causes some sort of death in our lives, a separation from God. Thank God we can get it taken care of. We should as quickly as possible, but it does cause a hindrance. Letter B there, our relationship with God is restored through salvation. I'm so glad that Romans 6:23 doesn't end with the wages of sin is death. That's just the first half. It goes on to say, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In fact, Romans 5:10 tells us, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Now, thank the Lord, we can have a relationship with him right now. But as we just discussed, there are things that can get in the way. Things we let get in the way. Things that we actively do that get in the way. Things that if we're not careful, they just kind of creep in. We get too busy. We don't put the right priorities into our relationship with God. But when we're talking about heaven, we're going to be in a situation where all those things that get in the way, whether we're talking about sin or priorities or whatever, they're not going to be in the way anymore. Let us see here. Our relationship with God will reach its ultimate fulfillment in heaven. Now, in what ways will our relationship with God be different than it is now? No more sin. So that barrier's gone. What else? We'll actually be with him in his presence. Now, his presence is always with us, and his presence lives within us. But in a very different way. I mean, actually physically, in a manifest sense of his presence. Okay? And you can think of anything else that might be different. We'll be like him. Yeah, we will be like him, but not like him. I mean, we won't be like God in the sense that we'll have all his attributes. I mean, we're not going to become God. Okay, unless you're Mormon, then you're going to become a God. Okay, but we're not going to become God, but we'll be much more like him, as much like him as a human being can be. And, you know, in the sense of differences make people special, you know, that kind of stuff, that's a good thing. But sometimes differences get in the way of our relationships with one another. Differences of opinion, all that kind of stuff. Well, the more we come like God, the less barriers that there's going to be between us and him and our ability to fellowship with him and all that kind of thing. So no more barriers because of sin and shame. We'll be there face to face. Revelation 21 verses 3 and 4, it says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So, this says that God himself will take the pain away. God himself will wipe the tears from our eyes. As we talked about in the previous lesson, believe with all my heart, we will be able to have one-on-one time with God and with Jesus. And the cool thing about God is he can spend one-on-one time with every single one of us at the same time and give us his full attention. Now, if our relationship with God is the most important thing, both now and in eternity, and if that relationship will reach its ultimate fulfillment in heaven, how important will our relationship with others be in heaven? Do you think that they'll have any significance at all? Yeah? Yeah. Let me ask you a trivia question. See if it is a trivia question. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, and 2, it gives some more explanation, it talks about God creating the world. And he actually has it very orderly. Day 1, he created this. Day 2. And it keeps saying, and God created it, and it came to the end of that day, and it was good. It was good. It was good. At one point, he said it was very good. But there was one time it said that something was not good in God's creation. What was it about God's creation that was not good? What? That man was alone. Yeah, it's still not good for men to be alone. I can tell they just get into too much trouble, right? Yeah, yeah. Genesis 2:18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him.'" So I want to look at number 2 here, our relationship with others. The importance of our relationship with God does not eliminate the importance of our relationships with others. Our relationship with God is the most important. But at the very beginning, God says that it's not good for us to be alone. He created us not only to be in fellowship with him, but to be in fellowship with others. Okay? Chris, you had your hand up a minute ago. Did you have something you want to interject here? Oh, you're suffering from that verse right now. Okay, you're feeling alone. Okay. All right, we will pray for you, Chris. All right. Letter A there under our relationship with others. Even before the fall of man, interpersonal relationships were important. And that's where you have the Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, "It's not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." That word helper doesn't mean that the women are there just to do whatever the guy wants them to do. That word literally means someone who complements them, not compliments them. Oh, that's a good thing to do too. But basically fills in the gaps. Together, they make a whole. Okay. Here's a quote. It says, "God planned for Adam and all mankind to need human companionship." In other words, God made people to need and desire others besides himself. And Jesus confirmed this. Letter B there. Jesus placed the importance of human relationships second only to our relationship with God himself. And when Jesus said it, it wasn't new with him. I mean, it was already written in God's law that when Jesus was asked, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, well, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. Matthew 22, 37 to 40. And if you think about all the things that God asks us to do, tells us to do whatever, it either has to do with our relationship with him or our relationship with one another. That, you know, our relationship with him is of supreme importance. But God wants us to have good relationships with each other. Letter C there is Paul indicates that part of our joy in heaven is wrapped up in our godly relationships. You know, we talk about the joy in heaven. We talk about how it'll be joyful because there'll be no more suffering, no more pain, no more dying, no more sickness. But Paul says specifically, at least for him, that some of the joy he's looking forward to in heaven is not just being free of sin and sickness and pain and not just being with God, but it has to do with other people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. He says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." Now, it can almost come across like Paul saying, "I'm glad you're going to be in heaven because I want to be able to boast that you're there. It's my, you know, I'm the one that got you there." And that's not what he's saying. He's saying he's so glad that he had the opportunity to share the gospel with them and they responded to it because now they'll all be together in heaven in God's presence. He says something similar in 1 Thessalonians 3:9. "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before God?" I think he's saying a good part of the joy he's expecting in heaven is tied to the relationships that he's built with people on earth. And I think that that's going to be true for all of us. You know, we'll just have a special relationship with and rejoice in those that we've grown closer to the Lord together. Those that maybe God has allowed us to be in their lives to help them grow closer to the Lord. Those who have helped us grow closer to the Lord. There's just going to be that special relationship. Letter D is this. The fact that we will be reunited with family and friends in heaven is meant to be a source of comfort and encouragement. A passage that's very well known in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 14, 17 to 18. It says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. We who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. In other words, he says, listen, you know, you're not going to be separated forever. Be glad about that. That indicates, well, we're going to be together, and so therefore, it's something to rejoice in. We're going to enjoy those relationships. Yeah, Lynn. That's true. We're talking about the ones that are there. Yeah, if they're not there, then it's not true. But the family members and friends that Paul's talking about here are obviously believers. Yes, but that is important to point out. Because there is this idea, you know, out there that, well, everybody's going to make it eventually. You know, and you've probably been to plenty of funerals where they talk like this person's going to be in heaven. You're like, I wonder if they knew the same person I knew. You know, and I mean, only God knows their heart. You know, and salvation is not based on righteousness, but righteousness follows salvation. It's a fruit of salvation. So anyway, the thing is that we get to heaven by God's grace. But if we've not availed ourselves of that, then we won't be there. And neither will our friends or loved ones unless they avail themselves of God's grace also. Letter E there, this is not something from the Bible, it's just my opinion. Okay, I'm very quick to, very careful, I should say, to tell you it's my opinion when it's my opinion. But I think it's based on biblical fact. I believe that our relationships with other believers and all that is good about them will continue into eternity, just growing deeper and better as time goes by. Okay? In other words, the relationships that you already have with other believers, again, those that are going to be in heaven, that all that is good about that relationship will just get better and better and better. And what I base that on is what we do know is going to continue on into eternity and just get better. Okay? In other words, the Bible says that this earth will continue into eternity, but it will be remade or recreated. It'll be very similar to the way it is now, but it'll be perfected. Okay? The Bible says that our bodies will continue into eternity, but at a higher level. They will be perfected. We'll have a glorified body. We've talked about in the last couple of weeks of how our minds and our intelligence, we're not just going to forget everything and not know who we are or who anybody else is. And we're going to grow and learn in heaven, and we'll have greater capacities, greater abilities. It's just going to get better than it is here. Our imperfect relationship with God is going to get better there. So I would think that it only makes logical sense that our relationships here that are godly will continue into heaven and will just get better and better and better. What's that, Lynn? We're going to get to that in a minute. Okay? We're going to get to that in a minute. Yes, sir, Tim. That's a good question. We actually talked about that last week. Were you not here? You may have been out of the room if you were here last week. Last week we were talking about that. What will we remember? What will we not remember? And the Bible doesn't tell us everything about what we will remember, what we will not remember. But one of the questions we dealt with was, will we remember loved ones or family members who have gone to hell? Because that would certainly seem to indicate or would seem to make us feel like at this point that that would cause sorrow and pain and that kind of thing. And all I can say is that one of the two things is true. Either we will remember, but there's something about it that will keep us from having that sorrow and that pain, or we won't remember. And the only reason I kind of waffle on it is that when you look at the story that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus, they died, and they were both aware of the other. The rich man was aware of Lazarus in heaven, and Lazarus was aware of the rich man in hell. Now, they weren't related. Lazarus maybe didn't care. I don't know. But I'm just saying there is that awareness. Now, maybe that was just for the time period. You know, when we get into eternity, maybe that'll all be changed. I don't know. But I can say I believe with all my heart, because we know there will be no sorrow, no pain, no mourning, that if God allows us to remember those loved ones and friends who did not make it, there'll be some way in which that will not cause us pain and sorrow. That doesn't make sense to us now, but there's a lot of things about God that don't make sense to us now. So, but we can rest assured upon the truth that there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, and no more mourning. So, very good question, though. Very, very good question. So, yes. Yes, Brother Henry. Well, I encourage you to listen to last week, but let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. Yes, I can get you a CD of it, okay? There's this idea that there can be absolutely no negative thoughts in heaven, but that may not be true. I think there can be negative thoughts in heaven without it impacting our enjoyment and joy of heaven, because we see glimpses into heaven of people who know about negative things that are going on earth. When you look in Revelation, and we talked about this last week, it says, he saw the souls of those under the altar who had been killed for their faith. And they're crying out to God, and they're saying, God, when will you bring justice? They're in heaven. They're experiencing heaven. But they're remembering that they were put to death on the earth, and they know that justice has not been served. Okay? But again, that may be just talking about now. Once we get to the eternal heaven, maybe that'll be eliminated. I don't know. But we talked about that last week. We had a whole list of scriptures where there are people that are in heaven that they know about negative things that are going on. And then another example, we talked about last week that will really help us, is that in this life right now, we can all remember negative things that have happened to us, but they don't cause pain anymore. In fact, some of them we may actually rejoice in, because now we see them from a different perspective. We see that those negative things actually brought us closer to God and showed God's glory. So the thing that I'm trying to say is that we may remember or know in heaven about negative things about this life. What we categorize as negative, but if we do, it will have a positive result or a positive impact on our experience of heaven, which sounds like a contradiction, but yet we already experience that now. You know, things we've gone through that were painful, but now we look back and it's like, that's not a big deal, but I can see God's grace through it, so I rejoice. Does that answer that question a little bit? Yeah. But let me go back to what I said after Tim's question. Whatever we remember, whatever we know, okay, whatever God allows us to, it will not take away from the joy of heaven, because we have that as an assured fact. Okay? Whether that means that he totally eliminates certain things from our memory, or we have a totally different perspective on it. Okay? All right. Lynn? Okay. Yeah, you guys are reliving all of last week's lesson because you weren't here. Okay, so you need to listen to it online or get a CD. But let me just correct one thing that you said, or deal with one thing that you said. You said that we'll be like God in the sense that it says that God remembers our sins no more. We talked about that last week. That does not mean that God has no memory of our sin. Because God is God. God is omniscient. He knows all things. If he literally forgot our sins, he would not be God. He would not be omniscient. When you look at those verses in context and in relationship to all the other verses in the Bible that talks about that, what it's talking about is that God is not going to take our sins into account. He's not going to hold us responsible for them. It's sort of like when we say something to someone else, they say, oh man, I'm so sorry I did that to you, whatever, please forgive me. It's like, well, just forget it. I have. We haven't literally forgotten it, but we don't hold it against them. That's what those verses are talking about when it says that God will remember our sins no more. Okay? All right, Chris, what were you going to say? Yeah, that's what I mentioned a few moments ago. Yeah. We don't know. But as I said, some of the things we're talking about are speculation, but what we do know from God's word is that we will experience joy and peace and pleasures in his presence. Okay? I still maintain that because we experience in this life, and heaven will be perfect, that there are negative things in this life that we now look back on and cause no problems for us. In fact, they even magnify the glory of God because we see God's grace through them. Okay? But we will find out when we get there. And if you're not there, we'll try to send a message to you. But that's not going to work. But I think you're all going to be there. That's all I can say. I'm not trying to say any of you aren't going to be there. That's not what I'm saying at all. But going back to the whole thing about relationships. Okay, deep and satisfying relationships, human relationships, are among God's greatest gifts. And they can bring glory to God and pleasure to God. You know, I think of our relationships with our children. And, as they get older, and if we have good relationships with them, what a joy they are. And I think that we're going to see that in heaven also. And our earthly relationships, our other human relationships, they can draw us closer to God. Of course, they can draw us away from God. That's why it's very important who you have close relationship with. But I believe that can even be magnified in heaven, that as we get to heaven and we're growing closer to God, learning more about God, that our interaction with each other will add to that whole process of learning more about God together and drawing each other closer to God. And, hey, did you know what I learned the other day or what I experienced or whatever? We'll still be able to have those kind of interactions, again, in my opinion. Now, we're going to get to that one that Lynn brought up there, number three, our relationship with our spouse. What do you think our relationship with our spouse is going to be like in heaven? Good? What'd you say? Pearl? What'd you say? Lisa? You're gonna be brothers and sisters. Okay? Well, your brothers and sisters now. Differently. Differently. Okay? Okay, so what's going to be different about our relationship with our spouse in heaven? We won't be married anymore, right? Okay. But will there be any similarities between the relationship we have now and our relationship in heaven?
Yes.
Some are saying yes, some are saying no. Okay. Well, let's dig into this a little bit, okay? Letter A is the one you guys have all said. In heaven, people will not be married. That's true. For some of you, that may make you feel sad. For others, you might be saying, okay. But we don't want to ask you to raise your hands, okay? In heaven, there will be no marriage. Matthew 22:30 says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. In fact, the Bible says, letter B, the only marriage in heaven will be between Christ and his bride. Who is the bride of Christ? The church. Okay? The church in the sense of all of God's people. I think everybody understands that, but we make that clear. God's people. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. The thing is interesting, it wasn't like God created marriage and said, this is such a cool thing, I'm going to use it as a picture to demonstrate what Jesus' relationship with the church is like. It's just the opposite. God had the relationship of Jesus with his church in mind first when he created marriage as a picture. Okay? Marriage on earth, at least the way it should be in its best form, is only an imperfect picture of the relationship between Christ and the church, his bride. Did you want to say something, Junan? I don't think we have jealousy in heaven, but it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to be married. Okay. Let me read this quote here. The one flesh marital union we know on earth is a signpost pointing to our relationship with Christ as our bridegroom. Once we reach the destination, the signpost becomes unnecessary. That one marriage, our marriage to Christ, will be so completely satisfying that even the most wonderful earthly marriage couldn't be as fulfilling. Now, let us see, okay? However, there is nothing in Scripture to indicate that we will not continue to have a special relationship with our spouse in heaven. It's not to say we're going to be married. It's not to say that it's going to be exactly the same. I personally believe that those people we have special relationships here on earth will continue to have special relationships within heaven. And that our relationships will continue to grow. We won't be married to our spouses. But if you're close to your spouse, I think you're going to be close to your spouse in heaven. Not in the same ways, but you're going to be close to your spouse in heaven. If you've got a really good friend here on earth that's a believer, they will continue to be your really good friend in heaven. Yes, Pearl. If you can finish laughing, you can ask your question. How can you have a good relationship with your spouse when you've been married 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times? Well, how can you have a good relationship with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 friends? Yeah. I understand that. But your spouse is going to be your spouse in heaven. I'm just trying to say that whoever, and if you're not close to your spouse, you may not be all that close to him in heaven either. Although hopefully you'll grow closer. Okay? All I'm saying is that the principle that we've been talking about all along, the principle of continuation, that which is good on earth is still going to exist in heaven, but it'll be better. Whatever relationships we have on earth that are good on earth, if those people are going to be heaven, they're only going to be better. So if you've got a great relationship with your spouse, I believe it's only going to be better when you get to heaven. And you know, Pearl's thinking, well, what about, you've had 2 or 3 of them and you had a good relationship with all of them. There's not going to be jealousy, okay? You're not going to be married. All right? If there's a person who's had several spouses, they've all been believers, you're a believer, I believe when you get to heaven, you'll have a relationship with all of them, but it's not like it's going to cause problems. You guys are still thinking in earthly terms. That's what's causing you the problems. Yes, Gloria. That's what I'm saying. If you have a relationship with your spouse, it's not real good. If you're both believers, you'll both be in heaven, and your relationship will definitely be better there. But I'm just saying. I just think our relationships are going to grow from where they are, and they're going to be better, and they're going to be without sin. Okay? So my personal opinion is, and again, this is my opinion, I fully expect that Jan's going to continue to be one of my very best friends in heaven. We won't be married, but I think we're still going to be best friends. I think we're going to enjoy doing things together. But I think that's true of my relationship with any of you. Okay? That wherever we are in our relationship, that it will just continue to get better in heaven. I only say that I believe that it's especially true of spouses because under the best of conditions, that's one of the closest relationships we have. So why would it not still be close in heaven even though we will not be married? That's all I'm saying. Tim, you had your hand up first. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Well, they asked him who he'd be married. Yeah, Pearl, I don't think, was asking who they'd be married to because they're not going to be married. All right? I think she's asking how they're going to get along together in the same room. And I don't think that's going to be an issue. Right, that's what they asked Jesus. Is that what you were asking, Pearl? I didn't think that's what you were asking. See, here's the thing. You guys are reading way too much into my comments here. All I'm saying is we're going to have a great relationship with the people we have a relationship with now. And if you've got a really good relationship now, it's just going to get better. If you've got a fantastic relationship with your spouse, it'll just get better. You just won't be married anymore. Now, that raises the question that nobody wants to ask.
Yes, that's the question.
We
having sex in heaven.
Okay, Lisa will ask it, but nobody else wants to ask it. Okay. If things are going to be better in heaven, then why is sex eliminated? I've got a good answer for you. Okay, first of all, to answer your question, no, there won't be sex in heaven because if we're not married, there won't be sex because God created sex to be a part of the marriage relationship. So if there's no marriage, there's no sex. But here's the thing, okay? I believe that even those who enjoy it, which hopefully is all of you if you're married, don't want to go any further than that, you won't miss it. That may be hard to believe. But let me ask you a question. How many of you liked cotton candy when you were a kid? I mean, some people don't. I never have cared for it. But a lot of kids love cotton candy. All right? But if you could imagine liking cotton candy, now you're an adult. What is your favorite dessert? I mean, there's all different kinds, right? Maybe a really fancy cheesecake or a really rich fudge cake. I shouldn't be talking about this right now. But if you could imagine cotton candy versus your favorite dessert, and imagine that cotton candy is what we experience with our sexual relationship on earth, but when we get to heaven, we get to have dessert. It's like, okay, I get to have that. I'm not going to miss the cotton candy. So in other words, heaven is going to be so much better. Our relationships will be so much better. We will not miss those things that are no longer a part of our relationship because we've got something better. That's the whole point. Everything in heaven will be better. All that is good will be better. Chris. There you go. That's a good example of what I'm trying to say. A hug in heaven will be better than sex on earth. Some of you are having a hard time believing that, but I'm just saying, okay? All right, Gloria. No, we won't deal with lust because that's a part of sin and sinful desires. We won't deal with lust, you know. We'll still be male and female in heaven, but there won't be anything like that. So we got to move on. You guys want to stay on this topic forever. Let's go ahead and finish this lesson. Number four, our relationship with our families. Our relationship with families. Now, again, this is just my opinion based on all the things we've talked about. I believe that our relationship with our believing family members and all that is good about them will continue into eternity, growing deeper and better as time goes by. Okay? That, you know, we'll all be one big family. But if we're close to our children, if we're close to our parents, if we were close, if they're already gone, I believe those relationships will still be special. Okay? Why wouldn't they be? Yes, Lynn. Why do you say that?
Because.
Okay. Well, I would disagree with you about we'll all be equal. Okay?
Equal in the sense of, you know, having the new body.
You will all have new bodies. That's right. But okay. But the. We will all be like Christ. We'll all have a glorified body. We'll all have perfected characters and such. But we're not all be clones of each other. There's nowhere in the Bible that says we're all going to be equal. You know, we'll all be equally holy. We'll all have a glorified body. In fact, what we're going to be studying is that our experiences of heaven will be vastly different. Because our experiences, and I'm not saying anybody will have a bad experience in heaven, not at all. Okay, but the Bible makes it very clear that our experiences of heaven and what we do there and what God has us do is totally dependent on how faithful we are here. And that's why I said that preparing for heaven is a whole lot more than just saying, well, okay, I'm saved and I just got to, you know, when I get there, I'm good. Just like preparing for retirement is a whole lot more than just saying I got to live long enough to retire. Our preparations has a definite impact in retirement, but also in heaven, is going to have an impact on our experience of heaven. I think that everything will be better But if you've got something special here, it will continue to be special there. All right. Now, when we get to heaven, we'll find out for sure. All right. I think that the special relationships we have here will continue to be special there, but we'll be making new relationships and they will continue to grow and be more special. All right. And there may be people that we have very special relationships here that'll still be special in heaven, but we'll meet some strangers or people we know from history or whatever. And we may grow even closer to them than we would to the people that we know now, because relationships will continue to grow and develop in heaven. It's not going to be a static thing. We talked about in some of our past lessons. Number five here, our relationship with friends. Again, old friends, just my opinion, based on everything else in heaven, all that is good is there and it continues to get better. Our relationships with our believing friends and all that is good about them will continue into eternity, growing deeper and better as time goes by. And as far as new friends, we'll probably have plenty of opportunities throughout eternity to develop new friendships with whomever we like. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. You know, we'll have the opportunity to get to know the people we admire from Scripture. All right? Maybe people we admire from Christian history. We will have the opportunity to get to know them and grow in relationship. Now, as far as the conclusion here, what will we do together? Well, we're definitely going to worship and work together. The Bible makes that clear. We will all be gathered around God's throne to worship Him at times. There's pictures of that in heaven. The Bible says that we will reign with Christ. We will have different levels of responsibility and accountability to God. All right? And that is based on our faithfulness here on earth as to what we'll be responsible for in heaven. That's one of the ways in which our experience of heaven will be different from one another. Okay? But we will definitely worship and work together. But I also believe, as we talked about in another lesson, that we could possibly do anything we want to together as long as it's not sinful and as long as it'll glorify God. Because we know there'll be no sin in heaven, and we know that everything will glorify God. So anything that could fall into that category, it's not sinful, and it can bring glory to God, is at least a possibility. I'm not saying it's a definite, but it's a possibility of something that we could do in heaven or we could do together in our relationships that we have in heaven. Now, hopefully I haven't raised more questions than answers. And some of the things that we may have even different opinions on, the good thing is that we'll find out one day. All right? And as I said, the thing that we can stand on, that we can hold to with firm foundation, is what God's Word does say. Whatever we know, whatever we remember, whatever relationships we have, they'll be better than they are here. And there will be no more pain, there will be no more suffering, there will be no more dying, no more sickness. If there is any what we would call negative remembrance in heaven, it will only be there because it actually has a positive effect. All right. As I said, the only example I can think of is things that we've been through on this earth. And at the time it was very painful. But we look back now, it's like, that's no big deal. In fact, I give glory to God for it because of what He did in and through it. In fact, there's one sense in which knowing what God has delivered us from will give us more reason to glorify Him and to praise Him. So anyway, well, let's close in prayer. We're past our time. And very interesting topic. Certainly did stir a lot of discussion. All right. And just realize that when you go to heaven, you get to enjoy your dessert, not just cotton candy. OK, so don't get too caught up hanging onto your cotton candy. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time that we've had together to study Your word. And Lord, some of the things we've talked about, they are for sure firm and solidly based in the truths of Your word. And You made them very clear. And we rejoice in that which we know is true, that we will one day be with You because we know Jesus, if we know Jesus. And Lord, that it'll be a place of joy and pleasures at Your right hand, as Your word says. And Lord, there will be no more sorrow or death or sickness or pain. But Father, we thank You that we could probably anticipate that we're still going to have great relationships with the people we have wonderful relationship with now, and especially with You. Lord, we look forward to that day. And Lord, we just ask that You'd help us to live our lives today to be as prepared as we can be for heaven and to make a way for ourselves. Not to get into heaven, but to lay the foundation for the way You want to reward us when we get there. Father, we thank You and we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online at www.marianoaksag.org. If you would like to help support this ministry, please mail your donations to Marian Oaks Assembly of God at the address listed on our website.